This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now that you have completed your salah, stay put for a moment. Don't rush out unless there is really a pressing need. Otherwise, stay put. Where are you going? What can be more important than trying to contemplate in silence about the enormity of what you have just come out of? And here there is a sense of grief. There is a sense of sadness. There is a sense of sorrow. Your communication, your direct talk with Allah Almighty has come to an end. And it's not going to happen now until a few hours perhaps. There should be an element of sukoon to you. Not an instant reaching to the phone to see who buzzed me. You've disconnected. So there is an element of grief. There is an element of sadness. And that is why some of our predecessors, like Yahya ibn Wathab, when he would finish his salah, he would observe a moment of stillness. And the signs of grief would appear on his face. And Ibrahim al-Nakhai, one of the tabi'een, when he would finish his salah, again he would observe a period of silence, and sukoon, tranquility. And he would look like an ill person. Anxious, has Allah accepted it? Has He not accepted it? When is the time for the next salah? La ilaha illallah. So stay in your place of salah for a moment if you can. And enjoy the dua of the angels as they say, oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, have mercy upon her. And they continue making this dua so long as you don't get up and leave. The first thing you will say when you finish your salah is what? Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, I ask your forgiveness. Subhanallah. That's the mentality of a believer. He puts forward his very best of ibadah to Allah, worship, and then he or she feels that perhaps they have just come out of a sin because they recognize the enormity of the one whom they are worshipping, and nothing can befit His majesty and His glory. You say, Astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me. Astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me. And you find this as a common theme in the religion of Islam. In many of the acts of worship, they are concluded with a repentance. Hajj, when you finish it, Allah said, ثُمَّ أَفِيضُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. Go in the direction where people are going and ask Allah to forgive you. This is Hajj. It's concluded with istighfar. When you finish your wudu, what do you say? And wudu is supposed to cleanse you. You say at the end of it, Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin. Make me of those who are repenting to you, O Allah. When you are at the end of the night is coming to an end and you have been praying, what should you do there? Allah said, wal mustaghfirina bil ashar. Those who repent at the later parts of the night. The night ends also with istighfar, repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Messenger spends 23 years sacrificing everything he has to convey the religion. And at the end of it all, Allah Almighty says to him, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ. Glorify the praise of your Lord and ask Him to forgive you. Your life ends with istighfar. So here you are finishing your salah and you say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. A humbling reality, subhanAllah. Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Then what do we say next? Allahumma anta as-salam. Oh Allah, you are the peace. Because one of the names of Allah is as-salam, meaning the source of all peace. Oh Allah, you are the source of all peace. Wa minka as-salam, and from you is all peace. Tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Blessed you are, O Allah, Lord of the majesty and glory. It's very suitable that you make this dua now that you've concluded your salah. What is the relationship? It's clear. When you are saying, O Allah, security, salam is from you, we're translating it as peace. But salam also has the meaning of security and freedom of defect and deficiency. So when you say that something is salim, it means that it is free from deficiencies and defects. So you've come out of your salah and you acknowledge that your salah is plagued with deficiencies. And so you say, oh Allah, I acknowledge this. And I acknowledge that the source of all perfection is you. So accept my prayer. Make it free from deficiencies. Accept it in a way in which it has no defects. Overlook the defects, oh Allah. And give me security in my salah. Accept it. Give me security in my health that enables me to pray. Give me security in my money. Give me security in my family. Give me security in my deen, my dunya. I acknowledge that as-salam is you. And salam is from you. So it is very suitable that you conclude your salah in this way. And then you will recite Ayatul Kursi amidst many other things that you will say. Coming to the end of the lecture now, inshallah. And Nasa'i narrates on the authority of Abu Umama that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qara'a ayatul kursi fi dubri kulli salatin maktuba lam yamna'hu min dukhuli al-jannati illa al-maut. Whoever recites ayatul kursi, which is ayah 255 from surah 2 of the Quran, whoever recites ayatul kursi at the end of each prayer, nothing will prevent him from entering paradise but death. That's your only hurdle. As soon as that obstacle is dealt with, inshallah, Jannah will be the home. Whoever recites Ayatul Kursi at the end of each obligatory salah, nothing prevents him or her from entering Jannah but death. La ilaha illallah. An optimistic and a hopeful future that we await, inshallah, if Allah allows. Then you will begin your tasbih, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And you will ideally use your fingertips, your right hand. If you want to use the tasbih, you can use the tasbih. Difference of opinion between the scholars, but the majority say it is fine to use the bead counter, whether it's the physical one or the electronic one. No issue, inshallah. But because your limbs will speak on the Day of Judgment, it is better to use your hand. And you say, as Muslim narrates, on the authority of Abu Huraira, that whoever says at the end of each salah, Subhanallah 33 times, and Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 33 times, that's 99. And then says on the 100th, La ilaha illallah, no one has the right to be worshipped but Allah. Wahdahu la sharika lah, alone without a partner. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, kingdom and praise belong to him. Wahu ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he is able to do all things. What is the outcome? غُفِرَتْ لَهُ ذُنُوبُهُ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مِثْلَ زَبَرِ الْبَحْرِ. His sins will be erased even if they are as abundant as the foam of the sea. La ilaha illallah. This hadith shows you two things. Shows you how evil man can be, that he can disobey Allah Almighty as much as the foam of the sea, as an analogy. And it also shows you the mercy, the rahmah of Allah, who is able and willing to forgive the sins of man, even if they are as abundant as the foam of the sea, subhanAllah. Why miss out on the this opportunity? Why miss out on this daily opportunity to have your sins erased? When I come to this lecture, Wednesday evening, I prefer to walk. The car is there, alhamdulillah, but I enjoy the walk from Pennyland, by the way, to here. It takes about 1 hour, 10 minutes. I enjoy it. But on a hot day like this, you realize just how much sin you can amass. And you are making your way to a masjid to worship Allah. So the opportunity for sins are so many on a daily basis. And most of us are unaware that we are accumulating this. Then salah comes. A daily or nightly opportunity to shower. To cleanse yourself from all of these things that slow you down in this world and the hereafter. Subhanallah, 33. Alhamdulillah, 33. Allahu Akbar, 33. And then the dua I shared with you. And when you are saying this, don't rush. Think about what you are saying. You are saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. How perfect is Allah? Meaning, how far is Allah from all of those deficiencies that they attribute to Him? That's what Subhan means. We spoke about this. Think about what the Christians have said, what the Jews have said, what the atheists have said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about those who mock their religion, who mock Allah Almighty. We're at the heart of it here in the Western world. Think about these things. And you say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Allah is far from this. Then when you say, Alhamdulillah, think about what you're praising Him for. Alhamdulillah for food, Alhamdulillah for health, Alhamdulillah for my senses, Alhamdulillah for my strength, my money, my savings, my spouse, my peace of mind, the guidance to Islam, ability to read Quran, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Then when you get to takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, gather all of the things that society has told you are important, whether it's fame, or social media following, or homes, or cars, or monetization, whatever it may be, gather them all, your problems, your burdens, your worries, everything that seems great, and say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than all of it. Allah is above all of it. Allahu Akbar. Interact with your dhikr. Now that your salah has come to an end, there is one final thing that remains before we depart. one obstacle which, if it is not overcome, there is a fear that all what you just heard no longer matters. Everything that we have been studying for the last 10 weeks or so may be of absolutely no use, gone to waste, if you don't overcome this last challenge when you complete your salah. And this is the crime of ujba, self-admiration. To think high of yourself, to be proud when you finish your salah. And that is why Al-Bazzar narrates on the authority of Anas, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا لَخَشِيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ مَا هُوَ أَكْبَرُ مِنْهُ الْعُجْبُ. He said, if it wasn't for the sins that people commit, I would worry for something that is even more harmful than sins. He said, عُجْب, self-admiration. Did you understand the hadith? If it wasn't for the fact that people commit sins, which by its nature humbles them, removes self-admiration. If it wasn't for the fact that people commit sins, I would have feared something even more worse for you than the sins that you don't do. That is self-admiration. A drop of it can devastate a lifetime's worth of good deeds. Be careful. Islam does not tolerate ujub, self-admiration, in the least. So you finished your salah and you enjoyed it. And perhaps you shed one or two tears as well. And you experience the meanings of khushu' that we're trying to build in this series. And you come out of your salah and you think to yourself, wow, that is a salah to be proud of. How can Allah not accept a salah like this? It can't get any better. In fact, I think paradise was created for people like me. Then you begin to say, look at those fools out there who don't pray. How foolish. Now, whilst I agree in principle that a person who does not pray, he is a fool. But what is more foolish is to look at them with the eye of belittlement and then to look at yourself with the eye of admiration instead of channeling that energy into rahmah, mercy and duty, carrying out your responsibility. But because you didn't do this, they didn't benefit from your dua, your advice, and you didn't benefit from your salah. عُجْب. ثَلَاثٌ مُهْلِكَاتٌ, the Prophet ﷺ said. There are three traits that are destructive to a believer. شُحٌ مُطَاعٌ, greed. شُحٌ مُطَاعٌ, greed that is obeyed. وَهَوَنْ مُتَّبَعٌ, and impermissible desires that people follow. Number three, وَإِعْجَابُ الْمَرْءِ بِنَفْسِهِ, and self-admiration. Beware of that. Now that you have completed your salah, ask Allah Almighty to accept, beg Him for forgiveness, and think about now how you can discharge your responsibility to others from family and friends who have not prayed this evening or this morning. This is the end of our series, dear brothers and sisters. Subhanallah, how merciful is our Lord Jalla Jalaluhu for gifting us with this lifeline. What can be compared to salah? What is out there that can remotely be compared to with salah? Nothing. Look at how it has been fine-tuned and designed by a wise creator such that it nourishes you and develops you from a holistic perspective. It's a complete program. It's a university. It's an entire school, a boot camp, to nurture you from every perspective, which shows you the intricate and intimate and perfect knowledge that Allah has of His creation. And you see that just through the forms of salah. Salah has bowing, has standing, has sitting, it has prostrating. Salah has utterances, has periods of silence. It has praise, it has glorification, it has dua, requests. It has thinking, reflecting, weeping. It has it all. So it is serving you physically. It is serving you mentally. It is serving you socially. It is serving you emotionally. It is serving you spiritually. Who can do this? But a Lord who is intimately familiar, and why shouldn't be when He is the Creator, familiar with the nature of insan, the human being. Salah is where harmony is found, where growth is found, where nurturing is found, where salvation is found. Salah is the greatest gift given to you after Islam. So cherish it, my brother. Cherish it, my sister. And with the end of our series, I really hope that you will see this final moment of our journey as the beginning of your relationship with khushu, not the end. That you will go over the content, inshallah. Whether it's something you have seen online or whether it's a book, inshallah, we hope this will come out as a book format in a few months' time. This is the beginning of your relationship with khushu, not the end. Many a times we feel in the back of our minds, because we had attended a lecture on this topic or that topic, there is this implicit belief that we've mastered it. Because I attended this course in this or that. La ya akhi. That is the beginning of it. Here in the case of khushu', you will discover the real khashya' from the one who is not by what they do after this session has completed. So put yourself to the test, my brothers and sisters. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have found the same benefit I have found in this series. I've enjoyed it immensely. Delving into the secrets of salah and understanding why we do different parts. And yani, subhanAllah, I know of a brother of ours who delivered the same series over 60 weeks. 60 weeks. And one of the things I didn't mention, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, after speaking about all what he could, about the secrets of the salah, the beauties of salah, and he goes on to say, وَكُلُّ مَا ذَكَرْنَاهُ مِنْ شَأْنِهَا كَقَطْرَةٍ فِي بَحْرٍ. Everything we have said thus far about salah, he said, is just like a drop in the ocean. There is much more to say and to discover and reflect over when you are connecting with your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I pray that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this will be the beginning of your relationship with khushu'. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, alhamdulillah.